welcome to Neighborhood Church. To learn more about who we are as a community or to financially support Neighborhood, go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org. Enjoy the message.
All right. Okay, we are going to continue on with the greatest message of your life. You're welcome in advance. So I'm going to tell you two stories, imagine this, about me. You're welcome. And they're going to seem like they are not related or have anything to do with resurrection. But I promise you, on the back end, I'll wrap it all up because I'm a professional. So the first one is I'm in seventh grade, and I went to a school. The locals call it like Harvard of the North, right? It's called Carleton, right? And we don't have, Carleton doesn't have like a junior high building and a senior high building because what excellence does, Jamie gets this, right? Excellence consolidates all of its power together. You know the concept of iron sharpens iron? We just put brilliant minds around each other all the time, and what it produces is this. Exactly. So, there's a problem of for me going to school because my dad was one of my teachers, and so I couldn't lie or get away with anything, right? And I had a book project due, a book report, and I couldn't go home like my kids can be like, hey, do you got any homework? They're like, no, and I believe them, all right? If I said, hey, my dad goes, hey, do you got any homework? I'm like, no. He's like, you're lying to me. You're grounded for a year, all right? It's just how it worked. So I had this book report, and the key part of a book report is you have to read a book. Exactly, you know where this is going, right? And as a kid, I loved reading. I loved Calvin and Hobbes. I loved comic books. The thing I loved about Calvin and Hobbes is, like, Calvin is uninterested. I don't know if you've ever read Calvin Hobbes. Calvin is totally uninterested in everyone else knowing if it is if Hobbes is real or not. He just assumes everyone knows that he's real, and he functions like everyone knows I'm best friends with the tiger, right? And it captures like childhood innocence at its best, right? And I loved reading. My aunt and uncle had old comic. I shouldn't say old because some of you are like, I read that when I was a kid. But like Archie, right? And what's the other one? Richie Rich, right? I loved reading those as a kid, and I couldn't get enough of those. And then I read Garfield. When's the last time that you read Garfield, right? Anyone read it recently? It's not a kid, right? Yeah, right? I heard a rumor. I don't know if it's true, but like Garfield, the author, like made the book just to make money, because there is no plot. There is just like, oh, I got the keys to the Mondays. You're like, oh, that's hilarious, right? It makes no sense. So. But the reading did not translate into junior high for me, right? I loved it. I consumed all those books, but never got into, like, books. And so in seventh grade, when I think it was Gary Klassen, and he's like, well, Chris, you have to, like, read a book to do this book project. And he's like, why don't you go down to the library and pick out a book? And you'll still have time to read it and do the report. And like I did, like every teenager, I like rolled my eyes, like, "Oh, Mr. Glasson, you're the worst." And I probably walked like this all the library, like, "I'm a sad little boy," right? And I start walking through the library, like looking at books, like, "That's dumb, that's dumb, that's dumb." And I got to the point of where, when you have like fictional paperbacks, they're like in the carousel, right? And I'm like spinning through it, probably finding way too much enjoyment. I was just spinning it, right? And a book with a rocket ship pops up. I'm like, oh, I like rocket ships. I think I like rocket ships. Well, why not? So I grabbed the book, and it changed my life. And it's a story about a boy named Ender. Anyone? So the Winter family know it, right? And that little book called Ender's Game seriously transformed me, because it like opened this whole new world I didn't know existed, where I could get lost in and I could dream. And the way that words move me to a different place, like, unlocked this new reality. And I became, still to this day, an avid reader. And I wouldn't be there if I didn't, like, be a little sad little boy and spin the rack and find some random book. And I read that book, I've probably read that book, I don't know, 20 plus times. For a while, I read it every year because it was so inspiring. So a couple years later, I'm now in... I can't believe I'm telling this story. All right, so I'm in 9th or 10th grade, and I met my best friend and when I was in 7th grade. And Nikki Erickson was the coolest girl in youth group, and everyone knew that she was the coolest girl. And she had, first time I met her, she had a Phoenix Suns starter jacket, right? And she had red lipstick on. I'm like, that is so cool, right? And she was funny. You still are funny, right? Like, I practiced this message without anyone here, so now it feels weird that you're looking at me. But and we became best friends, like, really, really, really fast. And I biked to her house every day in the summer until I could drive. Every day. You know how many times she biked to my house? One. You're not even doubling. It was one time. You're so. This is being recorded, so I have to. Yeah, two times. We're happy for you. God. We spent so much time with each other. It was wonderful. But at the same time, as best friends with Nikki, I was infatuated with this other girl, and her name was Anna Fink, right? And I asked Anna Fink to every school dance, like, hey, Aunt, we had every class together. And she reminded me often, she was first chair in trumpet for band. We're all happy for her, right? And I'd ask her at band, like, right before, like, a couple days before the dance. It was, like, homecoming or a football game or after basketball game. I'm like, hey, Anna, do you want to go to the dance with me? And every time, she wouldn't, like, pause and, like, think about it, like, oh, it's a good question. I should think. She's like, no, I don't want to go to, Chris, we're friends. We're not, I don't want to go dancing. I'm like, I took that as, like, I think she's really into me. Right? So I asked her, probably like 15 dances with every single one. Do you remember Anna? Yeah. All right, she's wonderful. And we're still really good friends to this day. So Snowball came around. And the Snowball is when the girls ask the boys to the dance. And so I let Anna know a handful of times, like, hey, Anna, like, no one's asked me to Snowball. Like, if you want me to go, my dad's got a tie. I can borrow it from him, right? So, like, I can get dressed up, and I'd go with you if you really want to go. Seriously, like, a handful of times, I keep dropping note after note. And I started getting nervous because, like, 2 weeks before Snowball, Anna still hasn't asked me. And so Nikki and I, you remember this. Yeah, I know exactly. It's going to make sense. Trust me, it's going to make sense, right? We're at Perkins 2 weeks before, Nikki and I, and we're best friends, and we're sitting down. I still remember it. I'm on this side of the table, and I looked at her, and I said, Nikki, I'm a little concerned that Anna's not going to ask me to Snowball. So if she doesn't ask me, you can come Snowball with me, all right? And Nikki went to Cloquet. I went to Harvard. And Nikki looked at me, and I'm like, but here's the deal. It gets worse, all right? I won't lie to him. I say, at any point, even if it's like the day before Anna asks me to go to Snowball, I'm going with her, all right? And I'll drop you like a bad habit, all right? But if she doesn't, you can still go with me. And Nikki sat there and said, okay. And I came around, and Anna did not ask me, right? I don't even remember if Anna even asked anyone. What? You had a date? No. That's a different story. Hey, stop. Hey. Hey, I have the microphone, all right? Two times. Yeah, right. All right. So Anna doesn't ask me, and Saturday comes around, and Nikki picks me up because I couldn't drive because I was too young, and Nikki could. And I open the door, and I'll never forget it. It's the moment that she stole my heart, and I knew I wanted to be with her for the rest of my life. I'm going to start crying. She curled her hair. She wore this beautiful black dress with these really high wool pink socks and her big old Sorels. And I fell in love with you in that moment. And it changed absolutely everything. And from that moment on, like, I've never given the heart back. She has it. And we've been married now 20 years. Yeah. Why are you laughing at that? Yeah. I have to think about it, right? I've known you since I was 13. And these stories have everything to do with resurrection. 1,000%. These are Easter stories. We all have these beautiful moments in our life where we're surprised by love, where we're inspired by joy, where we do incredibly hard things because of what Easter means, because of resurrection. And John tells this story in John chapter 20, and you're going to get the Chris Sauter rendition of this, right? John starts chapter 20 talking about light, and I say this every Easter service because I love it. John, in the book of John, they use light and darkness as like a metaphor, as like this trying to communicate something is in the air. Like in John chapter 3, right before John 3:16, this rabbi goes out, and John says in the dark of night, right? Because the rabbi has to go out and wants to talk with Jesus to find out what's really going on, but he can't go during the day because he's afraid of being seen. So it gives us like this idea of like something is hidden, something wants to be exposed, but it can't. And John, throughout, every time he tells like a time of day, he's not just like, oh, it's 3 p.m., right? He's telling you something bigger is being illuminated. And in chapter 20, it starts with, of all the things to start with, it says it was a new week and a new day. And what John is saying is like, there is something new that is happening. There's a new sun. There is this sunrise. There's this morning. Something is to be illuminated. Something is to be taken in. Something is about to be experienced for the first time. And Mary Magdalene is walking to the tomb because she is a great human being, right? She's wonderful. And she wants to go prepare her friend, her mentor, her Lord, Jesus, like prepare the body for the next part of the rituals of when someone passes away. And she's walking up, and she sees that the tomb, the stone's been rolled away. And so she looks in there, and she doesn't see a body. And she, like, looks around. Imagine she looks around, and she's like, well, did some teenagers take the body? Was it Roman soldiers? So she runs and finds some disciples. And she's like, did you guys take the body? There is no body. And so what traditionally men have done for apparently eons, they hear Mary and they're like, okay. So they run and they look in the tomb and they look at Mary and say, he's not in there, right? Exactly. I imagine men have been repeating the things women have told them already, but making it sound like they're the first one to say, like, he's not in there. And she's like, yeah, I literally just said that to you. You didn't need to run all the way down here, all right? You could have saved all this time. And then they run back. They go hide. They go back into hiding because they're afraid of their life. And Mary's left there, and she's like, I can imagine, she's like, well, where is this body? And she's walking around, and you can imagine that what Mary is feeling is all these emotions, and she begins to cry, maybe out of grief, maybe out of rage, maybe out of loss, maybe out of confusion. Because, like, everything that Jesus told her and told a lot of people was, like, this whole new way of being human, the kingdom of God, it's coming, and this new way of operating, and how the people in the back of the line actually can, like, move to the front of the line, and a ton of people actually believe that they had some worth, that they should be able to exist, that their bodies actually mattered. And people were starting to believe it and move in it, and then he dies? Right? Like, that's not what winners do. And not just die, like, willingly gave up his life. There, if you read it, it's actually quite comical. If you read the Gospels, how many times people, like, gave Jesus, like, the exit, like, hey, do you want to, like, not die? And Jesus is like, no, I'm going to die, right? That's what I'm choosing, all right? And Jesus willingly gave up his body. And Mary's like, that wasn't in the cards. That's not what we talked about. And now she's left alone to take care of this body, her friend, her mentor, her Lord. And so she's looking around, and she sees some dude standing in a garden. And she, you guys remember Nancy Pelosi, right? During the, the State of the Union. This was in 2017, where she started clapping back at the president. You guys remember that? And she's like, all right? I imagine Mary Magdalene's like, where is the body? I just want the body. And Jesus, like, oh, I gave it away. All right, the gardener, I didn't say Jesus. All right, the gardener, Caesar, and he says, which actually this is quite funny. He says what you should probably never say to someone, right? He's like, why are you crying, right? I'm not the smartest person in the world. But if, like, I met someone and they were crying, I probably wouldn't start off by saying, hey, why are you crying, right? It's like, take that, and then also, if you have your Bible right in here, things to never say to a woman, right? Seriously, right on, right? It's like, hey, why are you crying? Also, you should smile more, right? Just don't say that, right? If you ever thought about saying it, just like, don't, right? Just don't, right? And so he says, why are you crying? And Mary's like, I just want the body, my man. Where is it? You're standing here. Did you see anyone take this body, right? And she's having all these feelings. And then what the gardener says changes everything, right? Changes everything. And it's not this, like, deep wisdom. It's not like this mantra. It's not this thing you could chant. All the gardener does is just say her name. And he says, Mary. And everything shifts. Everything changes in that one moment through a simple name. Because what she couldn't see is that Jesus has been there the entire time, and she couldn't see it. Like, have you been here before? When you get fixated on a storyline, it was, I'll only be this. I can only achieve this much. I'm not worth that much pleasure. I'm not worth being able to take a nap. I don't deserve this amount of money. I don't deserve this kind of affection. People like me don't get to fall in love to that degree. I deserve the pain that I'm having. I have earned the mental health that I'm experiencing. This is what people like me get. And they can't see that there might be something more. They can't even dream that there might be something so much better. And this is where Mary lives. And all it takes is Jesus to say her name when everything of a new day, of a new week, of a new sun, of all things come real. All things become illuminated. All things come alive. All things are made new. And this is the beauty of resurrection. Because sometimes you need a friend, right? Oh my God, I'm going to cry even more now, right? Sometimes you need a friend to call. I called Nita yesterday. I was a mess. I have friends going through some really hard stuff, and I just needed someone who got me and knew me, knew my name. And I was so grateful that you answered the phone call. Like, it put things back into perspective. Sometimes you need that hug. I have a buddy. I just saw him yesterday, Eric Bong at Duluth Coffee Company. He's a barista there. And he, the first time after COVID, when I was going back out in public, I walked into DCC. I love it. And he saw me, and he could read energy. And he hopped over the counter and gave me a big hug, and I just bawled. Because I'm not, if you know me, I'm not a big hugger, right? Like, and he came over, and he hugged, and he's done it every single time since I've seen him. Sometimes you might just need that text that says, I miss you. Sometimes you might need your boss just to say, hey, you're doing a good job. Sometimes you might need your pet to hop up on your lap, and instead of saying, dumb dog, you just need to let it sit there and lick you for a little bit, right? Sometimes you just need to get out into the woods and get lost. Sometimes you just need to take a long drive and listen to, like, 80s music, right? Over and over again. Sometimes you need to go for a run. Sometimes you just need to find a place to rest. All of that is resurrection. And sometimes it might need a little nudge. Sometimes it might be a teacher telling you to go down to the library and find a rocket. Sometimes you might need your best friend to see something that you can't even see. And they stick with it, even in a dumb, stupid decision by me, someone's still to show up at the door and knock. And I'm better for it. Sometimes we just need that nudge to be able to see that all things are new. There's endless possibilities, friends, and this is what Easter is. This is what resurrection is. Jesus steps out of that tomb, sees Mary, and reminds her who she's always been, and she couldn't see it. And when we step into that, because here's the key. The key part about resurrection is that you have to be awake to it, even just a little bit, right? Because Mary could have just stayed there. And he's like, Mary. And she could have been like, I don't know you. Where's the body? Right? Like, hurry up with your gardening stuff, man. I'm looking for a body, right? She could have missed it. You have to step into that flow. You have to be open to the idea that there might be this, mystical chant, this mystical beat. And if you can't hear the beat, you can't hear the rhythm, you can't move with it. So here's my invitation to you. Today, as you were watching basketball, right? Or as you were eating ham and cheesy potatoes, and maybe you found the lost recipe of Jell-O, and you're resurrecting the recipe of Jell-O again, right? It's my dad's favorite joke. Oh, we found the recipe for Jell-O, right? As you're with family or friends or going to work, or you're spending time alone, or you're just with your pet, take a moment, find your breath, feel your body, and let love win just for a second, because you are worth it. And look around the room, look around the table. Take a moment to look people in the eyes, right? And if you feel inspired, give them a hug. Hold their hand. Tell them you love them. Tell them what you love about them. And when you do that, right, have you been here before? It feels so good. You feel so alive in those little pockets of where you're reminded there's something so much better than this. So here's to you, my friends. I hope you get to experience resurrection today. Oh, man. And I hope every single day you can step into that resurrected life. Let's pray. So God, we absolutely love you. I thank you that we don't have to just live in a cold, lifeless world. And even though at times it feels like it. But that does not need to win. That narrative does not need to be the main thing we march to. But there is life, and there is beauty, and there is joy. And so today, in this moment, in this breath, may we experience that just for a moment. And I pray for my friends who are here today or listening or watching online who feel a lack of that. That is real and that is valid. And I pray for a moment we can hear or experience you knowing who we are. And you've always seen us. You've always known us. And may we be reminded for the millionth time that we truly are good. We're not good if. We're not good when. We are good. And we are beautiful. And we are radiant. And we are Sisu. And we are worth this good life. And we deserve the goodness and the love. So may we step into that rhythm and that beat. And we collectively can dance with one another of this love and this joy and this resurrection. And we love you. Amen. Ah, man, that was so good. Right? It was so good. I love that we get to be in this space together, friends. So we're going to put some music on. If you would like to talk or process, or you just need someone to share, or you need someone to pray with you, I would love nothing more than do that today. Enjoy the rest of your time.